Good morning, everybody. It's 9 o'clock, and we're getting ready to get started here. So, if you get comfortable, and we'll go ahead and get started. I'll go ahead and open with a prayer as soon as everybody gets seated here. Great God, our Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Now on the sixth day of the Feast of Tabernacles, we're so thankful, Father, that you have brought us here together where we have been having a very good feast and good fellowship here and a lot of good lessons that you're bringing to us, Father, and things that we've been able to learn. We certainly do appreciate it. And we just pray that you'll guide and be with us today, that you'll inspire the message here this morning and the messages throughout the day. And we just pray for your guidance as we will be going up to Mount Rushmore this afternoon. We pray that we'll have a safe trip up there and that no accidents will occur or anything of that nature. And so, Father, as we get started here this morning, we just pray for your presence here to be with us. And we give you thanks and pray and ask these things in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I imagine that most of you are somewhat familiar anyway with, you've heard about near-death experiences. It's aroused a lot of interest here recently as a result of a young boy in North Platte, Nebraska. Recently a new movie called Heaven is for Real has stirred a lot of interest. It is based on near-death experience by a four-year-old boy, Colton Todd Burpo, from North Platte, Nebraska. The boy apparently had a ruptured appendix and while in surgery died and supposedly went to heaven. I've watched several of his interviews, and it seems that with each interview, the story changes somewhat. However, the happenings of which he supposedly knew nothing about until he became aware of them while in heaven pretty much stayed the same. And this has caused quite a bit of interest. In fact, even United Church of God recently had a TV program on the near-death experiences. I didn't see it, but I saw them advertise it. And also Dr. Oz has had several. I imagine most of you are somewhat familiar with Dr. Oz. He's got a regular TV program. And he's had several psychologists and different people on there talking about this. In fact, he had one particular individual that was a brain surgeon, psychologist and all, and he had one of these experiences. And he was totally, totally convinced that he had been, his brain was totally dead when, and his heart, where he was dead, period. And he was totally convinced as a result of what experience he had that it wasn't some illusion of the brain, some weird thing of the brain, that he felt he really did have an out-of-body experience. And so some of these things are, they're very interesting. I believe there may be some answers for these, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Again, it's something that we don't have a positive answer for. Many psychologists have looked at it and don't really have a positive answer as to what's going on. I believe we can probably find more information from the Bible. And by no means am I trying to promote these kind of experiences. We have a great enemy out there that may be behind these things. I don't know, but anyway, we'll get into some of that a little bit later. But what this young boy, he was at the time only just turning 4 years old. And they're still doing interviews. He's 11 years old now. And as I say, the story keeps on changing. You look on the internet and you see all kinds of different things that he said. Originally it was that he saw his dad praying while in the hospital there. And his dad said, there's no way. And his dad is a pastor, by the way, in North Platte too. His dad said there's no way that he could have known, even his wife, or in this case, the boy's mother, had no idea what room the dad was praying in. And so it was impossible, he said, for him to have known that he was in the room praying while he was while the doctors were working on him. He also claims that he met his sister, who came up and introduced herself to him. She had been miscarried, and this gets a little bit bizarre, had been miscarried and now was a young girl in heaven, and she immediately came up to him and told him that she was his sister, and supposedly he met his great-grandfather while there too. And of course, this has just been all over the airwaves, even on news channels and so forth. The 700 Club likewise interviewed this boy, and on the 700 Club, and most of this stuff, I didn't see these programs originally. They were on the internet. On the 700 Club, which is Pat Robertson's site, TV site, Pat Robertson's wife was interviewing the boy, and she was so convinced that as a result of this that we go to heaven when we die. And as far as the movie, I haven't seen it. I don't plan on seeing it. But anyway, this is how this all came about. And I want to go ahead and show at this time a video of six people who've had near-death experiences. It's difficult to really try to come to any conclusion other than it comes down to a matter: do we believe these things which have happened, or do we believe what God says happens when we die? Some of these experiences that these people have had totally contradict what we know that the Bible teaches us. Are these visions that people are receiving from the great deceiver? I think there's a good chance that it might be, because psychologists haven't been able to figure out what's going on with these people. There are events that happen here that certainly indicate that Satan could be at work here. For instance, he talked about the hope, that we all have hope. Yeah, we have hope, but is it a hope that we go to heaven right away when we die? So many have had the same type of vision, whatever you want to call it, where they go through a tunnel, there's bright light at the end of it. And then some that I've watched, and even this one individual on the video, said that there were no consequences in their life review of anything that they had done, that it was just a matter that they saw what they had done, but there were no consequences as far as any kind of punishment or anything. Well, we see that's totally the opposite of what the Bible says. There are consequences to the way that we live. There are consequences on earth, but there are final consequences too, and that is the lake of fire. But that's why I'm wondering if this could be something that Satan himself is putting in these people's minds to mislead them from what the Bible says. Even the movie that they have made, Heaven Is For Real. The whole thing behind this is the belief that people have that you go to heaven immediately when you die. Well, according to the Bible, that is a great, great deception. There are also individuals that were atheists that have had these experiences. And in some cases, even in one case particularly, a man became a minister. You know, and you think of, well, how does that fit in with Satan deceiving? Well, if they continue on in the path, as so many religions go, are they really dedicated to God anyway? You know, so maybe this is just another means that Satan is using. I don't know. I don't have a full answer, but that's kind of what I believe. Revelation 12:9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." We know that he's active at all times, and whether he's just employing this as another method of deceiving the world, you know, I can't say for sure, but certainly I do know that Satan is very active. We see him in our own lives constantly. Matthew 24:24, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And of course, this is who Satan is really after, after those that are true believers and are serving God. Yet most of Christian world believes that immediately upon death, a person's soul goes off to heaven to be with others of the departed who have gone to heaven. Who has ascended to heaven? John 13:13. "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven." So what are these people experiencing or seeing? You know, the only one that I ever know of that had a vision under New Testament times was the Apostle Paul. And he didn't know whether he had gone in body or out of body, but Paul was a man who served God deeply, and that was for real. But other than that, it says no one has ascended to heaven. Jesus said that, made that very clear, John 6:46. "Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from heaven, he has seen the Father." And of course, he was speaking of himself here. So, you know, that is certainly, I believe, a possibility that Satan is at work here. And it just totally contradicts what the Bible says. Is David in heaven? Acts 2:29. "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in," the word hell, really, Gehenna there, or Hades, "neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus that God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted in heaven, received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he himself, he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand." So the events there that we saw on the video totally contradict what God says in his word. So it's for us a matter of choosing. Do we believe the Bible, or do we believe these particular visions, whatever you want to call them, that these people are having? What is the condition of the dead? Ezekiel 9:5 says, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten." So there's no consciousness there. Ezekiel 9:10, "Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." Psalm 146:4, "His breath goes forth, he returns to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish." You know, how does that fit in with some of the things that we saw in the video? It is really kind of a big enigma if we try to say that they were having just some kind of experience where they left the body and went to heaven. That just doesn't fit in with what the Bible is teaching. And yet there's so many people out there that believe this, and this is a growing thing. You know, they have the organizations, as it showed, the one organization where people meet together and they're fully convinced. And I think it's another way that Satan is probably using to deceive people. You don't have to believe. You know, you've got eternal life in you. You're going to live. Everything's going to be fine. You have a hope without having to believe in Christ. Yet what does the Bible say? That there's no other name under heaven by which people can be saved but by the name of Christ. So are these people experiencing going to heaven without ever having repented or having known Christ? There's no other way, the Bible says. So I'm just trying to bring these things out, because as these kind of things become more and more popular, I want you to be aware of the fact that the Bible tells us exactly what happens at death. At death, there are no more thoughts. There's no more breath. There's nothing. And that totally contradicts from what we have seen in the video. to go on, what is the hope of a Christian? What is the real hope of a Christian? What does the Bible teach on this subject? What is our hope? The Bible teaches that we must remain in the grave with no conscious thought of what is happening in the world until a resurrection occurs at the return of Christ, at which time we will be changed to spirit and be in the kingdom of God. It doesn't say that when we die, our soul goes off to heaven, or any kind of a conscious soul. I do believe that there's a spirit in man that does return to heaven. Jesus, when he died, he said, "Father, receive my spirit." But I do not believe that that is a conscious spirit. But I believe that's the spirit that will meet the body that is resurrected. And it's how God keeps track of all of us, I believe. But it's not a conscious spirit, as so many believe. Here's what our real hope is. The resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:51. "Behold, I show you a mystery, which we shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" This is the hope that we have, that when we die, we'll be in the grave without any kind of conscience at all, and we won't have any of that until we actually come out of the grave. Will not have a conscious thought. To continue on with the resurrection in the 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Those which sleep in Jesus, not alive up in heaven, but they're totally unconscious in the grave. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Job 14:14 says, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." And Hebrews 11:13, speaking of a list that Paul or whoever might have written Hebrews had there, including Abraham and Sarah and different ones. He says, they all died, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The earth is the reward of the saved. The Bible teaches that the earth is the reward of the saved. In Galatians 3:29, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. What is that promise? Romans 4:13, for the promise that he should be heir of the world. God had promised Abraham to be heir of the world, not to go off to heaven and receive his reward up there. Was not that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Revelation 5:10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Many centuries of pagan tradition have convinced people that heaven is their home and their reward when they die. Nevertheless, the Bible record is indisputable. God's kingdom will be established on the earth. He created for mankind, and it will be an everlasting kingdom with Christ as its king. So, are there any comments? Anybody have any thoughts of in regard to these near-death experiences?
Well, I was just thinking that. I was just thinking that there's so much we don't understand when someone's going through the process of dying, whatever their brain is doing. Like, science can't explain it. So, whether someone is atheistic or theistic, I think anyone needs to be careful on the assumptions they make on what's really happening there. So that's just what I was thinking about it. There's just so many unknowns, so many unknown factors that I think just wild assumptions are being made on either side, whether someone who has faith or someone who doesn't. So.
Yeah, I agree. I just think some of the events that are stated there that these people have had certainly would be an indication that they're being misled to believe that they have a hope without ever believing in Christ. And as I see what the Bible says, that's just not the case. Tom, you had a comment.
There's a program called Touched by an Angel. And in Touched by an Angel, it's a similar sort of message. You know, the angels show up. There's nothing you need to do. The name Jesus Christ is never mentioned. The angels are here to help you. God is mentioned in a generic sense. You know, God loves you. You don't need to change course in your life. You don't need to commit to anything. You're just, there's this acceptance. And God loves you. And just kind of bland, you know. And kind of a similar message. They don't talk about the near-death experience, but God is just a big generic sense of love, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one thing that a lot of them try to bring out, you know, that they experience nothing but love. There are many of these videos that you can get on the internet, and some of them even describe what they supposedly saw as far as the changes in people, that they had wings. Well, we're created in the image of God. Nowhere in the Bible does it say God had wings. You know, so there's a whole lot of weird things going on there. Go ahead.
Yes, if you look at the analogy of the Jewish wedding, you know, when the ketubah was signed, that it was promised to marry, and the bride did not move in to the groom's house until after the wedding. So if you take this farther, and if anybody would go to heaven now when they die, they're technically they're moving in to live with the Messiah before the wedding.
And, that's right.
We have kind of a bad term for that today. Mm. Well, yeah. That's another proof, pretty much you wouldn't be going to heaven now.
Yeah. You know, another thought came to me, too, and Mike, you can have that in a second. Let me As I was going through this, I was thinking, why did Moses, God take Moses up on a hill to view the land that they were going to inherit? If he was going to die shortly thereafter, why did he have to show it to him now? He could have seen it from heaven. If it says, some of these people say you go to heaven, he could have viewed it from there. But no, God took him up on the high hill to show him the land, to give him a peek at it, because he wasn't going to be able to see it until the resurrection occurred, you know, and probably quite different then. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, too. And I really appreciate your point there. But, you know, the churches of the world are basically an instrument of Satan the devil. And he's created this concept that everybody wants to go to heaven. Well, reminds me of the little story that I think makes that point. A Sunday school teacher was teaching a lesson one Sunday morning on heaven. And so she asked the group, all these little kids, how many of you want to go to heaven? Of course, all the little kids hold up their hand except little Johnny. He's sitting in the back of the room. He just sits there. Well, Johnny, don't you want to go to heaven? Well, sure, teacher, but I thought you were getting up road to go now, and I'm not ready yet. And I think that's the way a lot of us are. And we've been trained by this system to anticipate going to heaven, and we're looking forward to that. And I think probably all these people that have experienced this have that in the back of their head because of the way we've been trained and looking forward to that. So Satan, I think, probably can intervene at a time of an accident or these people have had various situations and can just insert that concept and that seed and can work with that seed that's already been planted by the overall system.
That might be very true. In fact, some of the concepts that these people bring out, such as a life review, well, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But then they say that there were no real consequences that they had to face, that it was just a matter God was showing them the things that they didn't accomplish or whatever. But you can see copies there. And so it could well be that something like that they have heard some church teaching. But then there, when they get together in the conferences, it says if God is nowhere ever mentioned, you know, they just go to heaven and there's so much love there. Go ahead.
My study this year was on what happens when we die. And to me, a key scripture was 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This has three parts. We know what happens to the body, goes back to dust.
Mm-hmm.
Ecclesiastes, like you mentioned, said the spirit goes back to God who gave it. But what about the soul? And in Acts 2:27, which you all also read, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, and nor will you let thy Holy One see corruption. And throughout the body, when you study Sheol, Hades, same, you know, Greek and Hebrew, it seems to me to be a different soul and spirit we've always said is the same thing. But I see that the soul goes to Hades. And if you look in, say, Vine's dictionary, it says it never delineates the grave. It is a place of all receiving. Same with Strong's. You go to Revelation, and it talks of Revelation 6, death and Hades followed with the four horsemen. And it delineates the two. There's death, and then there's Hades. And I've always said, oh, it's repetition for emphasis. But I would say now, after studying it, that they are two different things. Perhaps it's the spirit in man that goes back to God who gave it. And the only thing I can come up with is that our soul is what makes us uniquely us, as opposed to the spirit in man, which makes us human. So it's just just a thought, something I'm looking into. Mm-hmm. I have no definitive answer, mm-hmm. but when I read in Revelation, death in Hades, they do make a distinction. So, I don't know, something for me to continue to look into.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting thought. Any more?
I just had a similar thought. The same scripture came to mind, Ecclesiastes 12, which you alluded to. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. And then it drops down into verse 5 towards the end there. Then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. So he's talking about death there. Then this version goes on, remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. So again, the question is, which spirit is that? Is that the man's spirit or God's spirit? And what if they were not baptized and had God's spirit? So that must be, I don't know who he's talking to here. So that would be, if they didn't have God's spirit in them, that would be man's spirit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things to ponder, like you said. Very, very good point. So,
yeah, it's a different concept. We've always thought in the past that, as you mentioned, the soul and the spirit were the same thing. And I still have a hard time separating that myself, for instance. There in Acts where it says, you have not left my soul in Hades. You know, I could easily see that as naphish there, the original word, my body in Hades, in the grave. But there are a lot of things that way that we don't fully grasp and understand yet. And it's something that will have to be revealed. We got another comment over there.
All right. So one thing I've always wondered is, why do we have to view our Father as a guy that's waiting for us with ready to spank us? I mean, I think when we get up there and we get to view our lives, I don't think he'll have to punish us. I think it'll be self-punishment. I think that we'll see what we've done and be like, we'll have to make the choice whether we even deserve or if we've even learned what we've have to be there for yet. And I'm not going to claim to be anyone that understands the Bible 100% or studies it enough to know, but it does say that this earth will be destroyed and heaven will be destroyed and there will be a new created. Well, who says that these people aren't going directly to heaven but maybe to a midpoint while we're waiting for the new to come? And like I said, I don't know these things, but when I think of our Father, who's a God of love, I just can't think of a person that's waiting to beat us when we get there.
Well, no, I don't think God is going to do that at all. You know, 1 Corinthians says that we're changed immediately in a moment and twinkling of eye. So we've received salvation, but when we appear before the judgment seat of Christ, it's for reward, not punishment. You know, some will get 5 cities, some 10, and so forth, but I don't think that at that time, those that have received salvation will be punished, unless you consider not having 10 cities as opposed to 5 cities as punishment. Go ahead.
I also tend to think on the lines of this, of Mike here. I think that Satan has put into the minds of people, when you die, you either go to heaven or hell. So when these people are seeing themselves in a situation where they're going to die, they're wondering, are they going to go to heaven or hell? And when the body is shutting down, the brain is probably one of the last things to go. And it could be that their last thoughts, their worries, are we going to heaven or hell, is almost like in a dream state before it shuts off. So they see these things that they've manifested inside their own head. And come when they do get brought back, they, you know, tell everybody, no, this is what happened, when really it's just what their brain has conjured up as it's shutting down.
Yeah, it might be. However, there, if you look at some of the other videos, there are individuals that have actually had the experience of watching the doctor out of body, so to speak, work on them, And when doctors themselves, after these people related the things, they said there's no way in the world that they could have known that because the body was dead, or that they could have seen him working on him this way. And they were actually seeing him in the room, describing things in the room and everything. So it's really, it's really weird, yeah. Any more? Yeah.
I know this is probably a poor analogy, but has anybody watched Men in Black, the show?
I haven't.
Okay, well, there's a spot in the end of the show where you guys, they say something along the lines, you just don't get it yet, and they open up the door in a footlocker, and they look out, and they got all the aliens out there, and there's just this whole big time-space thing. And they're just like one little speck.
Oh, we watched that, didn't we?
And I get the feeling that's what we are. And I think in Yahweh's mind, we're just here on doing this right here. And when we go, you know, to him and we get this all started again in the new life, I think we're just here doing this on this earth. And I think beyond that, we go out. And I think everything gets changed again. We're gonna be these princes, and we're gonna be going out, and we're gonna be doing new earths, and we're gonna be doing new creations and new things beyond that. And I think this is practice here. We're learning stuff. We're learning how to be these princes. We're gonna be making mistakes. That's why we have these rules. We have the first five books of Moses. We're supposed to be reading these things. We're supposed to be learning how to fellowship, learning how to do these things, and it's a constant practice. We're going to make mistakes. We're constantly doing these things. We've got to study. We've got to have to do all of this stuff constantly, over again, over and again. When it all gets done, I think Yahweh is a loving God. And I think we talk about the hell, Sheol, whatever the word is. I was told once, he's a loving God. If you don't meet his expectations, you don't believe what he is or anything, it's not something that you're going to be. It's an endless thing. It's instantaneous. That's it. You're done. You're gone. You know, you didn't meet his expectations. He's not going to sit there and going to be gnashing at teeth and all this thing in the bottom. You just didn't meet it. And the rest of the people are going to go on, his loving people. And I think that's what we're here doing now all the time. And us that keep the feast and everything, that's why I keep thinking that we have to keep them. No matter if we falter, we just got to pick up and keep on going every time.
Yeah, there's no doubt God is preparing us. I mean, this is the experience he's called us to be as sons and daughters. And he is preparing us for something greater. He's created a great universe. There's some reason why he's created that universe. Maybe we will be doing further things once the new heaven and earth has all changed. I don't know. Any more comments? I got one more there from Tom.
It reminds me of the emergency broadcast system comes on the radio or TV, and it, just what this gentleman was saying, this is a test, this is only a test. This doesn't really matter. I mean, what you can gain, what you can accomplish here on this earth, it's the character that we take out of here into whatever God has planned for us in the future, which I think it's in Hebrews. It says he will put all things under our feet. I think we have a bright future, like Star Trek shows all these other planets and so forth, you know, that man can find. What is it? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what I have in mind for you. We're scratching the surface.
Sure.
We're like the ant on the anthill, the journey to the other anthill. He took all day doing it, and then he said, I journeyed all day, and I didn't see a single human being. I don't think they exist. The same thing with us. You know, we can't even fathom what's out there, what God has planned for us.
Yeah. Well, we're digressing here a little bit, but anyway, that's true. We certainly don't know everything that God has in store for us, and we got a great future to look forward to, and don't need to base it on anything that people supposedly have seen or have not seen. So if there are no more comments, we'll close with that, and I have a break before we go into the next session. I think that'll be by John and Josh, I believe, huh? We'll have a split sermon today, isn't it? Or is it? Oh, Matt Laws. That's right. That's tomorrow. Okay, Matt Laws will be up next. Okay. Yeah.